for this evening, we'll be looking at 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 to 20, by God's grace. For this morning, please come with me to the portion of scripture that was read for us. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 to 20 into 30 were read to us who are hearing. By the grace of God, we'll just briefly look at verses 25 to 28. 25 to 28 of Matthew chapter 11. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as we look at that, I want us to consider thanksgiving for divine sovereignty. Thanksgiving for divine sovereignty. And if you look at that, you'll see in verse 25, though we are told there that at that time, Jesus answered and said, but Matthew does not tell us the exact time in which our Lord Jesus Christ answered. He doesn't tell us the actual time, but he says at that time. However, if you look at Luke's gospel, and there in chapter 10, Luke tells us something of that time, something about that time. Because he says in Luke chapter 10, and there in verse 1, Luke says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." And then in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And then in verse 18, "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and other over all the power and enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And then he goes on to say in verse 21, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." It was after the 70 had returned, he sent them to the cities where he himself was going to go. And it was after they had returned and given their report, as it were, that our Lord Jesus Christ now raises his voice and says to his Father, "I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father." He's giving thanks to his heavenly Father. Now, the 70 had returned. They had reported to our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what they actually reported was not as important as the response that our Lord Jesus Christ himself gives. And both evangelists, both John and Luke, actually emphasize this. It is the reaction on the part of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they emphasize, each one in his own way. But that is their emphasis. The reaction, the response of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they call attention to. Again, look at Luke chapter 10, verses 18, right through to 22. "And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And if you compare that to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, you'll see they're very, very similar in their reporting. This is their emphasis, and this is what they want us to see. And here, as often as it's translated in the New Testament, when it says here that the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said, that indicates a reaction or response to a situation. It is not an answer, if you like, or a reply to a question. It is his reaction as he responds to the reports, to the situation, to what is going on at that point in time. So as we think of thanksgiving for divine sovereignty this morning, I want us to consider, as we join, as it were, and continue to thank God and praise him for all his goodness and mercies upon us as a congregation and individually in our lives, I want us to join our Lord to consider, first of all, Christ's thanksgiving. Christ's thanksgiving. Secondly, I want us to look at Christ's sure claim. Christ's sure claim, his certain claim. And then thirdly, we'll look at Christ's free invitation. Christ's free invitation. So let's begin with Christ's thanksgiving. The thanksgiving of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the 70 who had been sent return. And they return, they are excited, and they bring exciting reports to our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have seen in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Then they bring this report not only about demons being subject to their authority in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, demons being expelled from those who were possessed because of the power of the name of their master and their Lord, our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But probably also they are excited because souls were changed. Souls were converted. Souls were being brought to that saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 12 of Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 12, there we read, so they went out and preached that people should repent. So this ones that went, they were sent to preach in order that people will repent. But as the Lord Jesus Christ does, as they went preaching, souls were saved. Those who were possessed were freed from demon possession. And so they were excited that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, demons were being, as it were, expelled from these people who were possessed by the evil spirit. But here they were. Those expelled were being saved and added, as it were, into the kingdom of the living God. And this is what caused our Lord Jesus Christ to give expression to this thanksgiving before his Father and our Father. He looks to heaven and he says here in Matthew 11, 25, I thank you, Father, because of all that has happened, because of these reports that have come to him. I thank you, Father. And when he says, I thank you, Father, of course, you know, that speaks of that close relationship that exists between the Father and the Son. He is speaking to his Father. For he alone is the only begotten Son of the Father. There is an intimacy between them that we can never begin to imagine. Here it speaks of that close intimacy that exists between Father and Son. And when he says, I thank you, Father, it is typical of the way in which he addresses his Father in Scripture, especially here in the New Testament. the way he refers to his heavenly Father. But the distinguishing feature about the way he addresses the Father here, what distinguishes it is the coordination that we have here with the title that he adds to the Father here in verse 25. Because having said, "I thank you, Father," he now adds, "Lord of heaven and earth." I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And what is he pointing to? He's pointing to the sovereignty of the Father. He's pointing to the Father. The Father is sovereign over all the universe, over all his creation. He is the sovereign God. He is the sovereign Father. And the reason for concentration of the thought of our Lord Jesus Christ on the Father's sovereignty is very clear from what follows here in verse 25. Having said very simply, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth," he adds that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of the Father's sovereignty in differentiating between men, between the wise and those who are referred to as babes here. And that differentiation is according to the mysteries of the Father's saving will. Thank you, Father, that you have revealed this, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Our Lord Jesus Christ is thanking the Father, is praising his Father for his sovereignty in the way that he reveals his saving mysteries to those he refers to as babes here and hides them from the wise and the prudent. And of course, when he talks about the wise and the prudent, he's talking about those who think themselves wise, especially by the standards of the world. He said the Father has hidden these things from them. And the Lord is thanking the Father for his sovereign will in doing that. And then he's also thanking the Father that he has revealed the mysteries of salvation in Christ Jesus to babes. And when he compares babes, of course, to the wise, he's not talking about babies now. He's talking about those who are babes when it comes to the wisdom of those of the world. So he's talking about the ordinary people. Those who are not wise or highly educated as the great men and women of education and achievement of this world. So he's comparing those who consider themselves wise and prudent in the things of the world as to the ordinary folk, those who are perhaps ignorant in the things that these ones are wise in, those who are humble in the way that they conduct themselves. This is the comparison that our Lord Jesus Christ is making here. And he's saying that the Father, who is Lord of heaven and earth, has chosen to hide these mysteries of his salvation from these wise and prudent people of the world, but has revealed them to the ordinary people, to the uneducated, to the poor masses, if you like, of this world. So the Father is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. But the focus of our Lord Jesus Christ's interest and thanksgiving here is on the Father's sovereignty in salvation. He is praising God and thanking him for his sovereignty in salvation. But why does the Father hide this thing from those who are considered themselves wise in the things of this world and reveals them to the ordinary people, those humble people of this world, the ignorant, uneducated, as it were, people of this world? In verse 26, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight."
And this is the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking. He is the one who is thanking the Father here. He says, I thank you, Father. Christ says that the Father's sovereignty in differentiation of men finds its reason in the Father's determined good pleasure. For so it seemed good to you, he says, Father. And because it seemed good to the Father, it is good to the Son. And the Son praises the Father. He thanks the Father for his sovereignty, even in the salvation of sinners. So that is Christ's thanksgiving. The next thing we'll consider is Christ's sure claim. His claim, a sure and certain claim that he makes here in verse 27. You see, those who are burdened are going to, as it were, be urged by our Lord Jesus Christ to come to him. He's going to encourage them. He's going to invite them to come to him in order that their burdens may be removed, in order that they may be relieved of their burdens. Yet, none of those who are burdened, none of those who are heavy laden, can come unless the path, the way, has been revealed to them, unless the way is made clear to them. None of them can come. Remember Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. It first of all looked at sometime during our mission prayer meetings some time ago. In Romans chapter 10, and there in verse 14, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, how can they come to him unless they know how? Unless they know the way? Remember the words of Thomas to our Lord Jesus Christ there in the Gospel of John. And in chapter 14, when he says to him, Father, please show us the way. And the Lord looks at him and says, have you been with me this long? You are saying to me, show you the way? And that's when he made that wonderful claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by me. And so, here, none can come to him except he shows them the way. And the truth is that it makes no sense to come to anybody who says to you, come, unless the one inviting knows what is needed and has whatever it takes to meet that need that you have. Come unto me with all your needs. Come unto me with all your cares and all your burdens. Now, unless we are sure and certain that that person knows actually what we need and has whatsoever it takes to meet that need, there's no point going to him. We're only going to make the situation worse. It will be one needy sinner going to another needy sinner. Who will help the other? Blind going to the blind. Who will lead the other? None whatsoever. So in order to come, we need to be certain, we need to be sure that the one that we are going to knows what is needed by us. And he has whatever it takes to meet that need and to satisfy that need that is in us. So the first thing we see here in verse 27 and the first part of verse 27 is that our Lord Jesus Christ has all that sinners need. He has everything that sinners need. He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Everything, without exception. All things means all things by our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means all things that are needed for salvation have been delivered to me by my Father. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is declaring here. Remember, he's thanking God and praising him for saving the base, even having neglected the wise and the prudent of this world. And so what he is doing here is he is saying and showing that everything that is needed to save, everything needed for salvation
have been given to him by his Father. In other words, all the mysteries of God's love, all within the scope of grace and truth that is to be made known to man, everything that is involved in that have been given to the Son by the Father without exception. Everything, all things needed have been given to him. That's the first thing he declares there. The second thing he declares is the sovereignty of the Father is there. He reveals it. In revealing the saving gospel to men, he says it finds its focus and its center in the revelation of the Son. That is himself, our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how he puts it. All things, he says, have been given, delivered to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. So that our Lord Jesus Christ is making a very fundamental declaration here. He is saying the knowledge of God that saves. Remember John 17 verse 3? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, the knowledge of God that saves is in the Son. He has it. Everything that is necessary to be known of the Father, in order that we may be saved, in order that we may be reconciled to the Father, is found in him, even our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All knowledge of God belongs to the Son. And he makes that fundamentally clear. No one, he says, knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Nobody has that knowledge of themselves, but he does. He has it. That saving knowledge that is required for salvation, he has. And he has it because he is the Son. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. And his knowledge corresponds to the knowledge of the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. There is a correspondence in the knowledge of the Son of the Father and the knowledge of the Father of the Son. And as believers, we can understand that, can't we? For they are one, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have always been from everlasting, and they will remain till everlasting. And the full knowledge of one and the other is corresponding. That's why they act, as it were, in unison. They act as one. They work as one, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that the unique, the all-penetrating, and that all-inclusive knowledge that Christ has of the Father ensures that the revelation he gives to us of the Father is full and it is true. Because he knows the Father as the Father can be known. Just as the Father knows him as the Son, in any way that the Son can be known. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And so when he reveals anything about the Father, it is true and it is full. Perfect knowledge of the Father. And the third thing we see here is that since only the Son knows the Father, it follows that he alone is able to reveal the Father, and he does reveal the Father. And so he adds at the end of verse 27. Having said, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, he adds this, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. He alone knows the Father. He alone can reveal the Father. And he does reveal the Father to whomever he wills. It is his sovereign prerogative. It is his sovereign right. And he has a sovereign authority over all, being the Son of the living God. Remember what the Apostle John tells us in John chapter 1, and there in verse 18 of John chapter 1. This is what he says. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. He alone is able to reveal him, and he has revealed him. He has declared, and he reveals him to all whom he wills to reveal the Father. This is what he does. So when he says, no, does anyone know the Father except the Son, he will add, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So that salvation depends solely on the sovereign will of the Father and of the Son. Completely. From start to finish, salvation is based on sovereign grace. It is only by grace. Remember Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, by grace you have been saved. Only by grace. And the sovereign grace of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So thirdly, this morning then, we look at Christ's free invitation. Christ's free invitation. So the Lord Jesus Christ has made it plain. He alone has all things, everything that is necessary for salvation. He alone has the knowledge. He knows all about the Father. And he knows everything that we need to know of the Father if we are to be saved. And then thirdly, he alone is able to reveal the Father to whomever he wills. And we have seen then that salvation is by sovereign grace and grace alone. Not by the efforts. Not by the workings and the labors of any man or any woman. It is by the grace of God and God alone. And the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly exercises this sovereign grace of his to whomever he wills to save. So when it comes to Christ's free invitation, because he has what is needed for our salvation, because he knows all that is needed for our salvation, and because he alone can give what is needed for our salvation, he is able to give that to those who labor and are heavy laden when they come to him. And so he says to this ones, this needy one, this ones who labor and are heavy laden, he says to them in verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, says the Lord of glory, if you are laboring, if you are heavy laden, if you have sinned that in and of yourself, you cannot help yourself, you cannot save yourself, you cannot truly survive under the burdens of this life. And he says, come to me. Come to me. And then he also adds, and I will give you rest. The rest you have been searching for in every place. The rest you have been looking for in every other sphere and every other place. But me, I can give that rest to you, says our Lord Jesus Christ. But you must come to me. Come to me, and that rest
will be given to you. It will be yours. And it is for those who labor, for those who are heavy laden, that the invitation is extended. Those who know themselves to be laboring, and those who know themselves to have a heavy burden upon themselves, it is to them, all of them, that the call is made, that the invitation is given. Come to me, he makes it very clear, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Yes, he is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here he sets a pattern and an example for us. It is an invitation to all who see their need of him, all who care to come and call upon him without exception. And that is our calling, to extend this invitation to all, every person that we can reach to. And whatever we think concerning the sovereignty of God, it is important to understand here that the full, the free, and the unrestricted offer of Christ in the gospel comes on the crest of the thanksgiving for sovereignty. The Lord Jesus Christ is thanking the Father for his sovereignty. It is upon the crest of this sovereignty that this free offer, this free invitation comes from our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people say, oh, God is sovereign, and you talk about the sovereignty of God, even in salvation, that means, so man cannot come to Christ. Man cannot call for salvation. Yes, you're right. In and of yourself, you cannot. But in the sovereignty of God, God has determined that in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, some will be called. He has sovereignly determined that some will come. And these are the ones that our Lord Jesus Christ has referred to as babes. But for those who consider themselves wise in the things, prudent in the things of the world, of course, they will not come. Because they feel they are satisfied, they are self-sufficient, they don't need anything. And so they will not come. That to the babes, the ordinary, humble people of this world, the ones to whom the offer is extended, they will come by the sovereign grace of God. They will hear and they will respond to this. So that the truth here is, the offer is the climax, actually. It is the apex to which all that we've been talking about have been leading us to. It is the zenith. The thanks and the disclosure of the Son of God and all that he has for the salvation of sinners, all this lead to the full and free offer of the gospel. And this is what the Lord does. And it is the free offer of Christ here by Christ. It is Christ offering himself and saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. It is Christ offering Christ. And all who respond in faith will find rest in him and in him alone. Because he is the embodiment of sovereignty and grace. He is the embodiment of truth and mercy. So he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Let's make one or two applications as we close this morning. And as we think of this thanksgiving by our Lord Jesus Christ, as he thanks the Father for his sovereignty, and as he later shows us that he himself has the sovereign power and authority to save, it's important that we see clearly what he shows us here. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the prerogative and he has the power to save, because he is the Son of God. And he alone knows God the Father as can ever be by anybody. And he alone is able to reveal the saving mysteries of the Father to whoever will come to him and believe in him and know him as Lord and Savior.
And so, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, if he drew consolation from the sovereign good pleasure of the Father, if he drew this consolation and was able to praise and thank the Father for his sovereignty, and for his sovereignty in matters of salvation, then let us do the same. Let us rejoice and praise God and thank him for his sovereignty in the salvation of sinners. It is important that we do just as our Lord and our Master has shown us. Let's thank God that he is the sovereign ruler of the universe. But more than that, he is sovereign in all the mysteries of the salvation of sinners. And he, at his sovereign pleasure, reveals the saving mysteries to those whom the Lord Jesus Christ refers here to as babes, that is, the ordinary humble folk who come to him and confess to him and seek salvation from him, while he hides it from those who consider themselves wise and prudent when it comes to the things of this world. So let's thank him. Let's praise him. We must never allow ourselves to be deprived of the comfort of the Father's sovereignty when it comes to the salvation of sinners. And this is important, especially when we go out there and we are trying to reach out. When you go out there to Stratford for the open outreach, when you go to any place and you're trying to reach out to sinners and to bring them to a saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you find out only few people respond to the gospel. Remember, it is not up to you. It is all under the sovereign power of God. It is all under the sovereignty of God. However, just as our Lord Jesus Christ did and called sinners and invited sinners to himself, you are invited, you are asked to do the same. You must extend the offer of the gospel of salvation to all, but leave the salvation to him who alone is able to save. Like Jonah said, salvation belongs to God. The preaching, the witness has been given to you and me. Let's do our part. Leave God to do his part. And when he saves those few poor, broken, humble, and perhaps half-witted men and women, when they are the ones that respond to our gospel in faith, we must never despise them. Especially in these days of small things, we must remember always to thank God, to praise him, and adore him for these poor, humble sinners who come to the Lord Jesus, who seek him for salvation. We must thank the Lord because, remember, they are the trophies of the Father's good pleasure. They are the trophies of saving grace. We, just like we were when we became believers, just like we were when we came to that saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come, we must always remember never to despise the ones and the twos, whoever they may be. Many seek for celebrities. Many look for the conversion of some great and mighty person here and there. Many look for, and they want to be known as those in whose churches there are these celebrities who have come to faith. These great men, this great woman, these entrepreneurs, this whoever they may be, who have come to faith, they want to be known as those who belong to that church. No, that is not our ambition, and that is not God's plan. It is the babes to whom he reveals, the ordinary, humble folk that he generally reveals the truth to. Let's thank him for that. And let's receive them with thanksgiving and praise. Because for every one of them that is saved, there is what? Rejoicing in it. Not just on earth, in heaven.
There is.
And if angels rejoice at the salvation of one poor sinner here and there, what of us? What should we be doing? Those of us who have tested and known that the Lord is good, those of us who have partaken of this saving grace that our Lord Jesus Christ imparts upon those who call upon him, we must want to rejoice and thank the Lord for extending the same to others and bringing them to saving knowledge of himself. The Apostle Paul, remember how he puts it there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle says, "For you see your call, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." This is God's word. And this is what he has chosen to do. And we must thank him for that. We must praise him and adore him for doing that. And then secondly, the knowledge that our Lord Jesus Christ has of the Father, as we have seen, is his. Because he is the Son. That knowledge is his because he is the Son of the Father, just as that of the Father is his, because he is the Father. So the Son knows the Father because he is the Son of that Father. And the Father knows the Son just because he is the Father. And we have seen this correspondence in the knowledge of the Son of the Father and the knowledge of the Father when it has to do with the Son. And this correspondence is the guarantee. This is the guarantee, the assurance that when the Son reveals the Father, he does reveal the Father as the Father truly is. He knows the Father perfectly, in and out. So when he reveals the Father, he is revealing the Father as the Father is in truth. Because he alone knows him. He alone can reveal the Father just as he is. And following on that, the commitment here is the guarantee that in revealing the Son reveals the Father as the Father wills himself to be revealed. He knows how the Father wants to be revealed. He knows because the will of the Father and of the Son are the same. And so he reveals the Father just as the Father intends to be revealed. Not only does he reveal him as the Father truly is, no, he reveals the Father as the Father wants to be revealed. Because he knows the will of the Father. There is this perfect correspondence between the Father and the Son. And the truth which our Lord Jesus Christ pronounces here is that of the sovereignty of his revelation and the illumination action that he takes in the salvation of sinners. This is what he brings out very clearly. No one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. So what he says to us is he is revealing the only way, but he is also telling us that he alone has the power to open the eyes of the blind, to soften the hearts of the hardened, and to cause them to see the Lord Jesus in all his glory and majesty, and to come to him and to know him by faith, believe in him, trust in him, and then partake of that everlasting life that he alone is able to give. And this truth our Lord makes clear to us here. So when you find that poor, simple folk that I was talking about responding to the gospel, and the wise and the great men and women of this world sneering at the gospel, saying they have nothing to do with it. It is for the poor, for the masses, not for us. We know better. When you find that happening, remember that those simple, ordinary folk who come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ are the trophies of Christ's sovereign good pleasure. They are the trophies of our Lord Jesus Christ's sovereign grace. They are the trophies of the salvation that the Son of God offers to sinners. And scripture tells us that he spares the poor and needy. He saves their soul and redeems their life from oppression and violence. It's in Psalm 72. I'm not making that up. Look at Psalm 72, verses 13 and 14. In Psalm 72, and there in verses 13 and 14. Let's begin from verse 12. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. He saves, he redeems, he delivers the poor and the needy. Finally, the offer of Christ in all his fullness and freeness comes out of the heart of the movements of the sovereign grace of God. God so loved that he gave. He gave not because we deserve to be given, nor because he has shown favor to us. He has chosen to favor us. That's what grace is all about. It is all of grace. And so that is the constraint that is placed upon us. And I'm talking about ministers and people alike. This is the constraint that is placed upon us, that we should all lift up our voices like trumpets and pronounce and proclaim and declare the appeal of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Declare it all. An appeal to sinners, whoever they may be, wherever they are, to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who alone is able to save. Let's proclaim this appeal that was proclaimed by him who is sovereign and Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, he says. Let's call others to come unto him. Let's follow in his step and his pattern. Let's do the same. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our appeal. And that is the cry we must cry out. Each and every one of us, if we are truly believers. The Lord has shown us the example. He has set the pattern. Let's follow that pattern. And as we have sought to show up to this point in time, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Don't go anywhere. Don't look to any other. Come to him. He has made it abundantly clear. All things needed by you as a sinner to come and to be reconciled to the Father have been given to him. Everything has been given to him. He knows your need. He has, in the second place, all that you need. Because he knows the Father. And he knows him more than any can ever know. All that is needed, he has. He knows the Father. Everything required for your salvation is in him. And he alone is able to declare the Father. That sovereign knowledge that you need to come to the Father, he alone can declare it. And scripture says, he does declare it. So if he calls you to come and you come sincerely and genuinely, remember,
He will never, never turn you away. He will receive you. He will forgive your sins. He will cleanse you. He will make you His own. And you will be reconciled to the Father. So will you come to Him? Remember, He is the fountain of everlasting life. When you come to Him, and you know Him as Lord and Savior, and you know your sins forgotten, and you know this rest that can only be found in Him, then you can join with us. Then we can thank Him together. We can praise Him, just as our Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. We can thank Him and praise Him first for who He is, and then for what He has done for us. And we continue to thank Him for what He will yet do, even for others. And so we finish with that. In Matthew 11, verse 27, all things, says our Lord Jesus Christ, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal. May the Lord help us truly and genuinely come to Him and know what it means to be truly given rest by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.